First of all, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the outpouring of love and of excitement, the Rav, Rabbi Levin, the wonderful Jews that I was able to see today, to talk to today, the hospitality, the graciousness, the sweetness of the people that I've met so far. If all of Cleveland is like this, it's a stopover on the way to Yerushalayim. And there were so many people to thank. I understand so much work went. I'm sorry, I don't know, there was so much work that went tonight. I thought we were just going to fabrang a little bit. I didn't know I had so much work. It sounds like the committees and people, all kinds of things. I don't know. But that's how much you care about Yiddishkeit. That you want to come together a little bit. Says I'm in Jews to talk about what we care about most for a few minutes. No, since it's a Farangin, tomorrow night is Gimel Tammuz, it's the Babish Rebbe's yard site, Susi and Elena. So let me begin by sharing with you a story of an experience that I had with the Babish Rebbe. I think it went around a little bit because the Chabadskis filmed me saying this, which I hadn't spoken about in many years. But I want to start this way. There was a time when I was very, very torn as a young man of what I should do in the future, where I was to go. I was always expected to go to law school. I didn't want to be a doctor, and at that time that was the only other choice. And my parents had been through a lot of things in their lives, and they wanted me to have a comfortable career. But the Beis Medrash was pulling at me very strongly to remain in yeshiva. And one Friday night, there was an old friend of mine who lives in California. We went to high school together. And he came to spend Shabbos. And he was going to be going to law school. I was already planning to attend in September. And he asked me a question that I had never really thought of. He asked me, he said, we were just sort of talking, I think they call it like pillow talk. He says, "Maishwa, what are your plans? What are you doing?" I said, "Same thing as you. I'm going to be going to law school in September." So he said, "Do you really want to do that?" I hadn't really thought about that. Back in those days, most of us did not want to disappoint our parents. I didn't want to disappoint them. And we had a long conversation. And for the first time, I was able to admit to myself through this conversation that my dream was to teach Torah, to continue learning and to teach Torah. I didn't know what to do. I really couldn't take the thought of hurting my parents and worrying them. So that Sunday, I decided that I was going to go to 770. It was impossible to see the Rebbe. But I found out when he was going to be coming out from Mincha, and he was going to be going to the oil. I found out when he was coming out, and he said, "If you stand over there, when he comes out, maybe you could get a bracha or something." So I just went to 770. And they told me he's coming out. You could set your watch. I don't remember what time it was. Let's say 2 o'clock. But he comes out. And there were only like 15, 20 people. So I thought, this is great. I had this whole thing. I was going to go over to him and ask him. And then around 3 minutes before 2, there were all of a sudden hundreds of people. And Some of them are much bigger than me. And I was like pushed to the back, but there was some chassid that had rachmanis, and he helped me. You know, at that time I had a kippah sugar, you know. And he said, this poor guy, maybe he could become a better Jew, you know. So he was pushing me to get closer to the front. And those of you who remember, the Rebbe came down like a soldier. He had his bag with the kritlich to take to the oil. And he was walking and he was looking on the side and going like this. Like nodding it like this. And I was just trying to make eye contact. There was a big guy in front of me and it was very hard. And he was going so fast that his car was over there. And he went right past. And I was just standing there. And then he had one foot in the car. And he turned around. He walked back. And he came over to me where I was standing. And he looked at me in the eyes. And he didn't say anything. He just went like this. Like that. Of course, my mother would understand that meant law school. Columbia. But I had a long talk with my father. My father said to me, all the years I was wondering why is it that out of my whole family I survived. And Mommy and I have spoken about this. Auschwitz, Mauthausen, from our families that were here. We had nobody, just us. And finally tonight, my father said, finally tonight I have an answer. You're going to stay, you're going to learn, you're going to teach Torah. Very few days ever pass in my life that I don't think back on that Sunday morning when the Rebbe looked at me in the eyes and gave me that chizik to be followed by my father's chizik. And the Baruch Shalom knows that for some 42 years now, 43 years, maybe more already, I've been trying to do that with my brothers and sisters. I don't have the strength, the holiness of not the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zichron Levracha, and my father Zichron Levracha. I can't do it with a wave of a hand. But I've been trying so desperately to share some words over these years of chizik. I told a few of you today that when I come here and seeing you and I hear some of the things that you're talking about, just the very maimed that we're in right now, that it gives me tremendous chizik. It gives me tremendous, tremendous chizik. And I was thinking a lot. I didn't have much time today to think about what to say. But we just heard this past Shabbos. We just heard Hashem is Baruch tell us. The only time we see this in Chumash, such a thing, Hashem Yisbarach turned to us through Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem Yisbarach said to each and every Jew, Vizchazakten, Lekachten mipri haaretz, Vayomim, you may be Kuriyan Oven, Vizchazakten. Every single one of us needs so much chizik. If you think that you don't need chizik, then you need the most chizik. Every one of us needs this v'hischazakta. But why did the Baruch Shalom say davka then? So the Meraglim were leaving. They were heading out on their journey. You know that all of us are still suffering and crying. every tzara that we have in our lives. I didn't hear there was an attack today. I didn't hear. That comes from that Tisha B'Av. Every child that decides that I'm done with Yiddishkeit, that comes from that Tisha B'Av. Every husband and wife who can't look at each other, who can't talk to each other, those who can't find the Shidduch, it comes from that Tisha B'Av. And the Baruch Shalom said, V'yischazakdem. There are going to be hard times coming up. The whole tkufa, you know, that the Maragim left, it was, we have a Kabbalah, it was Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, it was now. That's when they left, and they came back to Tisha B'Av. Bahayomim, you may be Kuri Anovim, it's brought down from our Pshamshon Astropolia, from the Kadmoinim, that if you take the word Anovim, Ayin Nun Bezyud, and the Mem, and you take the Bechor, the firstborn, meaning the letter before each of those letters, it comes out to spell Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. The Yud is not Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. You know what that means? Samach Mem Aleph Lamed means the other side. It means the Sitrach, it means the side of impurity, it means the Satan. And that Sadiq who himself was killed al Kiddush Hashem, Reb Shamshon Astropolia, he said that this time of the year is a time of tremendous, tremendous dinim, difficulties. And it's been that way for thousands of years. Tammuz and Av, Eini Eini Yerda Mayim, the 2 months that correspond to the two eyes, Eini Eini Yerda Mayim. We haven't yet come to Ki Ayin Ba'ayin Yeru B'Shuv Hashem Tzion. So much crying. I've been just talking to a couple of Chevra today, things that Chevra are going through, and crying, worried about their children. So the Baruch Shalom knew, and he said, V'yischazaktem, because these are days of Yemei Bikuri Anovim. There are Anovim that are good, and they give life, and there are difficult days, you may be Kriya Anovim. But at the same time, everybody here knows, there's a teaching that came from the Beis HaMedrash of the Mezuzah Shemagid Zchus Yigaleinu that I'm sure you've spoken about over the years. That when it says in Eicha Kol Re'etfei Hisiguha Ben HaMitzarim, all of our enemies who are pursuing us caught up with us at this time of the year. It's brought down in the Kuzan Samag in the Oiv Yisrael. The Kol Reitfeh is Kol Reitfeka. All Jews who are chasing after Hashem. Kol Reitfeka, all those who are truly seeking Hashem, means all of you. Kol Reitfeka, Hisiguha. There's no greater opportunity. There's no greater time. Catch up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Reitfei Ka, Hisiguha, Davka during this time. This is the time that we have a Kabbalah Mashiach Tzakein who was born, Tisha B'Av. The Chassam Sofer made a cheshbon that the chasna of Boaz and Ruth was in Shavuos HaBetamuz. Don't tell that to the caterers, they'll try to start something then. The chasna of Boaz and Ruth, from Boaz and Ruth would come forth the Yishai Hoylidus David of the Malki Mashiach. The Sefer Yetzirah tells us that the chush of this month is re'iyah, is to see tikkun ha'inayim, to see the good that's hidden inside all of the suffering, to be able to see the good in each other, in our children, in our husbands, our wives, to see the good in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should be zeichet to the time of Esech HaZen, Eineinu, B'Shuv Chul Etzion V'Achem, and to see Mashiach Tzakeinu already. And these last few moments before Mashiach comes, we have to try to hear the Bari Olam saying to each and every one of us, and to us as a nation, as a people, just hearing this now, the news, I'm sure that when I call my wife later, she'll fill me in on the pratim. I didn't know. Every one of us needs to hear Hashem saying, Chevre, hold on. V'yischazakten. V'yischazakten. Be strong. It's going to be soon. So I want to share with you just a hergish, a chush, that I hope will give each and every one of us a little bit of chizik. It's on my mind all the time, because I only respond to the conversations that I have. Most of the talks that I plan on giving, I never end up giving. I give some other time, but I usually try to hear and I try to respond. If the Rebbe Shlom had to say to us, v'hischazakten, to the Magen, to all of us, it means that this time of the year is the source of the biggest Chalishas Hadas. Tisha B'Av, for 3 weeks, Tammuz on Av, and specifically what happened that horrible night, that time when the Maragim came back that day, that night, when they came back. So what is that Chalishas Hadas that you and I are having, that we're feeling? And how can we mischazik a little bit? So let's go back to the beginning. The Torah says at the beginning about Hashem creating man. B'tzelem Elokim bara oisai. That man was created in the image of God. And there are many, many opinions of what that means. What is the meaning of b'tzelem Elokim? What is the meaning of man being in God's image? So Rav Sadia Goyen says that a human being has the ability to rule over all of creation, the animals, industry, plants, a human being. It's a bal koiches. Tam shileihu b'maasi yadecha, the koch of shlita, of ruling. The Rambam, of course, says that tzelem Elokim means that man has a mind. The intellect of man, Tzelem Elokim. That man has the ability to reason, to think. That's called Tzelem Elokim, that's the image of God. Ramban says that Tzelem Elokim means that man has the ability, the unique ability to create. To create. To procreate. Animals can also have offspring, but to create something different and new. A human being is a creator. That's called the Tzelem Elokim. Sforno says that man has free choice. It's unique. Malachim don't have. A human being is a Baal Bechira. He's a Baal Bechira. He decides. The Koch HaBechira is the Tzelem Elokim. The Bali Musa, Rav Dessler, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. Rav Dessler said the man has the ability to be kind, to give, what he called the Koach HaNesina. The man can be generous, can be caring, can be giving. Rav Dessler said, as he learned from his teachers, that that's the Tzelem Elokim. The Mekubalim. Yishimon, the Ari HaKadosh. The Mekubalim have revealed to us that the image of God means that man has within him a Jew, has within him a chelek elokam yimal mamash. That you and I have within us a nishmas elokim, v'yipach ba'apu nishmas chai, a nefesh elokis. That a Jew carries within him a chelek elokam yimal mamash. So what could be more godlike than that? But only we have such a thing. All of man, all human beings are created somehow in his image. But the Mekubalim hold all of the other explanations, but a nefesh elokis. Ashrei nematar chokein. A nefesh elokis. And of course, all of these ideas, all of these thoughts and explanations are true. And Adarabba, each one of those tzaddikim revealed another part of ourselves, of each and every one of us, that's godly. And the etzem of a Jew, that's a lokus. But I have found over the years, when talking to Jews all over the world, that none of these pshatim, even though they're all true, that for the most part, none of these pshatim, with all of the embellishments and all of the explanations, that none of these explanations ultimately bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We understand, we appreciate, we learn. I could lecture right now on these different views, and we could talk about it, and we could have like a Leil Iyun on Tzelem Elokim. Does that mean that any one of you or myself tomorrow morning we're going to daven with a brand? Because the real question of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the question of the tzaddik and the Talmid Baal Shem, was always not what is the Tzelem Elokim, say that they're all right. But as we say in Yeshiva, L'may Nafke Mina. L'may Nafke Mina. There's no English for that. L'may Nafke Mina. What difference does it make? What's the practical, what's the to'elas? What's the advantage that a Jew has? What does it mean for me right now, tonight, Marv? Right now, tonight, when I say Kriya Shema Lamita. Right now, tonight, if I have a thought to look at something on the computer or on the phone, that the eyes of the children of Yaakov Avinu shouldn't look at. Yaakov Avinu never ever dreamt that we would see the things that we're seeing. For my nafke mina. So at that moment, I'm going to stop and say, whoa. You know, you're in God's image. Maybe. Never helped me. Not Reb Sadia Goyen, not the Rambam, not the Ramban, not Sforno, not Desna, not Tzedekin. It's all gewaldic, but l'may nafke mina. So listen, chevron. And please be meichel me if I'm taking too much time. I was never in Cleveland before. So be meichel me. I don't mean to take up your time. You know, when we're really honest, Demis, in a real deep way, is by Ne'ilah. It's the most honest couple of minutes of the year. Every single one of us, no matter how silly we might be during the year, and how we might get caught up in all kinds of narishkeit, but when it comes to Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, at that moment, it's so clear there's nothing else. So in the davening of Ne'ilah, we say some words that we might not pay attention to, but I think about them all the time. Ata hivdalta enayish miroish v'takirehu la'amod lefanach. In English, you have separated man from the very beginning. You have designated and separated man. Ata hivdalta enayish miroish v'takirehu la'amod lefanach. And how have you separated man from all that exists? This Tzelem Elokim. Say that? Whatever that means. This Cheftza of a Tzelem Elokim. This thing that's called a Tzelem Elokim. L'may nafke mina. What do you want of him? Not what is he, but why is he? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't really make that much of a difference what we are. The difference is why we are. You see in the Lil Seder, which is connected to Tisha B'Av, comes out the same night of the week. We move from the question of man nishtana, what, to the question of echad mi yodeya. We move from ma to me. Actually, spells mami. We move from ma, what, empirically, scientifically, logistically, intellectually, leil iyun, on the subject of man. We move from that, from ma nishtana, to echad mi yodeya. Echad ani yodeya. So the Baruch Shalom is telling us that's what the davening means. Those most honest moments of the year when it's mamish, the chesima, everything that we've been working for, Elul and Slichus, the whole business, Sesame Tshuva, Yom Kippur, Ateh, Dalteh, Nishmi Reish, Baruch Shalom, you took this thing that you created, that you imbued with this magical Tzelem Elokim, you took this thing and you gave him the distinct privilege and responsibility v'atakirehu la'amod lefanach. La'amod lefanach. To stand in your presence. To be able to talk to you. To be able to have a relationship with you. To be misdabik, to love you, to live every moment of life with you. Vatakireyu lamad lefanach. But there's another time where we find the word enosh. It's in Tehillim, a Chazal revealed to us that this is what the Malachim were saying, when the angels were saying that man is unworthy of being created. What words am I talking about of the Pasuk? Ma enosh kisis kirenu, ven odom kisif kidenu. Ma enosh kisis kirenu. Ma enosh kisis kirenu. What is man? Ma enosh, not me. Ma enosh kisis kirenu. What is a man that you should even think of him? That you should want to create such a modernness, such a strange distortion of your image? What is man? That kitruk of the angels at the beginning of time, the ma enosh verses, that kitrug is what brought to that Tisha B'Av. That kitrug is what causes you and I not to be the fathers, the mothers, the children that we want to be, the teachers that we want to be, the friends that we want to be. That's the nafkimin. Because when you want to understand what happened with the Meraglim as a result of that whole collapse of Emunah that took place, that has led to all of this stuff, you have to look at the beginning of Sefer Devarim. Where there, the Torah lets us in to hear the conversations that were going on among the Jews in the aftermath of the report. What were the conversations? What was the hak? You ever hear the word hak? They do that here too? Oh, it's in New York, it's very big. What's the hak? What was the hak you have to the Chet Maragim? Like if you could put your ear to listen in, what was the hak? It doesn't say that they were talking about big grapes or small grapes. They're talking about Tel Aviv, Be'er Sheva, Netanya, Savion. The hak was this. It says in the Pasuk Befeish, "Vateiragnu bi'arelechem vatomru." They were murmuring. That's hacking. 3 or 4 years from now, the English translation is going to say they hacked. "Vateiragnu bi'arelechem vatomru." They were hacking. And they were saying, it means this wasn't just in one house. This means this was the hack. This was all over the internet. This was Twitter and Facebook and TikTok, everything. What was the hack? Vatayimru, the words are hard to say. B'sinas Hashem oisanu, chitzianu Hashem yimitzrayim, chitzianu mitzrayim. It's because God hates us that he took us out of Mitzrayim. B'sinas Hashem oisanu, chitzianu yimitzrayim. You ever feel that way? How could they have felt that way? How could they have come to such a maskana, such a conclusion? The Makis in Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, the Anani HaKovid, the Mon, the Baruch Shalom is showering us with his love, with his adoration. So how could they have come to such a maskana? It's because he hates us that he took us out of Mitzrayim. That was the maskana of the Chet of the Maran. The beginning of the Maran. So how could they have come to such a maskana? Haven't you ever met a child? Maybe you don't have this in Cleveland. Where you have good parents. Good parents. Caring and loving people. I'll use a boy now for the example. Who showered that boy with love and affection. Who did 1,000 carpools. Who went to the basketball game and was clapping by the little league. Who did everything that they could for this child. And that somehow, the Sacha Kol of all of that love came out in such a way where the child is convinced, Besinas Abba Oisi, my father hates me. My mother can't stand me. I deal with these things all the time. How could that be? See, your parents love you. No, my parents hate me. So there are a few words in Sforno over there that open up the whole thing. The Sforno says, B'sinas Hashem oisanu. You know why God hates us? She'avadnu avadazar b'mitzrayim. Because we worshipped idols in Egypt. That's why God hates us. So, listen what happened. The Baruch Shalom carries us al kanfei nesharim, like babies. He feeds us. He nurses us. He coddles us. He surrounds us with clouds. He's hugging and kissing us. But it must be that he hates us. Really, he hates us. B'sinas Hashem oisanu, al shavadnu avadazar b'mitzrayim. Not because of anything that God did to us, it's because of what we did to him. You look around, you see that Bochum have the great schus to be sitting and learning Torah. There's no greater schus in the world. It's the best years of their lives. All of us old people are saying, those were the times that was great. And the boys are in yeshiva. And you see these boys walking around, it looks like Tisha B'Av every day of the year. Some of the chevra, not God forbid, but some of the chevra. You know why? Not because God doesn't love them. Not because Abba and Ima are not kind to them. It's because they are convinced somehow that because of some things that they might have seen, some things that they might have done, that they're completely unworthy in the eyes of God. You remember after Adam and Chava ate from the tree? Rabbi Levin was talking about. After Adam and Chava ate from the tree, so the Torah tells us that Adam and Chava were hiding. You have thrown me out. What does that mean? And I am hiding from your face. You ever go to shul and see people talking during davening? Did that happen over here? I don't mean in the shul. Have you ever seen such a thing? You ever see people are coming to a place where they're told that this, they know that this is the place where Hashem hangs out. You know what I'm seeing more and more? I saw this a lot in Yerushalayim also. Well, you have an empty... I was going to the shtiblach because we were spending some time in a certain area, and I went to daven in the shtiblach, and you have that the whole little room there where you're supposed to daven is empty, and all the men are in the Ezra's Nashim, and there are like three old men sitting in the men's section. There are no women there at that time. It was like a mincha on a weekday. But there are like 50 men crushing each other in the Ezra's Nashim. Half of whom came late and leave early. In the place of Hashem, in Gan Eden, there's a feeling of anger, Ashtar, you see. You don't want me here. I have to come, but you really want me. Umi Panecha saw us, look at the Ramban over there. The Ramban says, Lamud to stand before Hashem, that Tzelem Elokim has the, whatever that Tzelem Elokim means, this thing called the Tzelem Elokim has the unique ability to stand in front of God and to look at Him in the eyes and to say, Chatos Yabisi Poshati, but I'm still here. I'm coming back. I want to be better. Help me. And Adam and Chava are running away, and the Rabban says that Adam is saying, I'm hiding from you because I can't talk to you. I can't daven to you. Why? God did something to him? God hurt him? What does he have tinyus against the Baruch Shalom? So he says, Achalti min ha'etz. And they ate from the tree and they were naked, they erumim. And Hashem Yisroch says, remember? Mehigilu ha'ke'erim ata. Who told you that you were naked? Tov. The Rishonim talk about what that means, that nakedness. But in Pnimius, the Sforim teaches it means the following. You feel like you're naked after you've done something bad. You feel so unworthy. You feel like dirt. And because you feel like dirt, you're running and hiding from God. That's why Davka, in the place where God is most present, you feel like the dirtiest, and you have to turn away and make some kiddush club or talk or nonsense or hang out in the hallway or something. Or just not to go at all. And Hashem says to Adam and Chava, did you eat from the tree? I never told you that you're worthless. You know how many kids feel these days that they're worthless? Much more barchan than girls. Much, much more barchan. Especially if they're told that the only way you are somebody in the yeshiva is if you're the smartest, the brightest, if you're the sharpest mind, if you're able to slug up Rebbe's kasha, Rebbe's teretz, then you're the sharpest guy. But if you're just a sweet, humble little Jew, ma enesh kisizkera. What are you? What are you, some mitzvah doer? You're a mitzvah boy? You're nice. You have good midos. Come on. This is the major leagues. It's not for babies with good midos. Over here, we're trying to produce future, you know, Rogachovas. Which Rabbi Nachman says, the Inyan of Karach is separating the Lamdan from the Tzaddik. To make a Lamdan without being a Tzaddik. so many guys I talk to feel like dirt. Why? Like the Sfarana says, how could we think that God hates us? The Torah says, Shavad no Avadazar b'Mitzrayim. No, we don't do Avadazar now. It's the other Avayus. Luchaseh. Shavad no Avadazar. Because of the things that I've done, I feel that he hates me. And Hashem is saying, I told you that you were naked. I didn't tell you you're naked. Naked means worthless. I didn't tell you that you're empty. I didn't tell you what I'm telling you. You want to know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you, don't do it again. Try not to do it again. No, go to the mikveh and come back. We're friends, best friends. The Balatanya says, we say every single day in davening, it's not a bracha levatala. Hashem forgives us. Stand up, face him, panim al panim. You walk into a classroom now these days in high school, again, not so much with the girls, but it's starting with the girls, but with the boys, you can't even, it's hard to get boys to look at you in the eyes, teenage boys. Yeah. They see a person with a beard that looks as a tzura, you know, of a firm Jew or something. And they also think, he must hate me, this guy probably hates me. I don't even know you. Why would I hate you? I love you. I have nothing against you. No, you know, come on, you hate me. I hate you? Why? Really, you want to know the truth? Why? Yeah. Shavadati Avodazar b'Mitzrayim. I, whatever his Avodazar is, he feels bad. And with this, we're watching our kids run away from God. And we're watching grown men, not so much women again, I'm being hard on the men now. The women have, they have other inyonim, but that's another night. But the grown men will sit around. The wives and family could be waiting for them. Could be waiting for them on Shabbos. They're sitting kiddush. They're sitting and drinking and carrying on for another hour or two or three. And you look at what's going on with the eating and with the foodies. I heard a new word this year, foodies, and with the fressing and the gashmius and the stuffing themselves in this world, on this world, because they're convinced that there's no way in the world that God wants to see them. Why? Whatever happened, happened. Therefore, I believe that that's the Chalitzas Hadas, based upon this Sfarana. That's the Chalitzas Hadas that we were feeling after the Chet Ha'Egel. We felt low, unworthy, and despised. And before Mashiach comes, all of these things are coming back very, very, very strong. Life has never been better. Chas de Hashem. We don't have to live, for the most part, there's still plenty of tzaras, but for the most part, we're not living the way that our parents and grandparents, we don't live in fear of pogroms, inquisitions, holocausts. People are so sad. Everywhere I go, people at Tzibrachim, they're depressed. Old people, young people. Let me share with you a poem. I'm going to end soon. I'm sorry. Many times in shul, I read poems from the poetry of a remarkable woman who I was never zeichet to meet. She was from Baltimore, a Balas Tshuva. She ended up in Meir Sharm, being a wrestler of a chassid in Meir Sharm. Her own children didn't know that she wrote all these poems. Her real name was Sara Rosenblatt, but she used different pen names. And her book, you can't get her book. There's people told me they're charging crazy things, even, you know, like online to find her book. It's very, very, very hard to get. But they're supposed to be, when they told me they're doing it already the last few years, they're supposed to be putting together more stuff too from her. She wrote very, very remarkable poems about us, about her struggles in the world of Tshuva, in Yerushalayim. She died a few years ago. She wasn't old. So her pen name for this particular book was Ruth Lewis. Some of you might have heard any of it. It's something special. So this poem is called When I Consider. So listen carefully. It's hard to listen a little bit. It takes a second. The poet is speaking to Hashem and says the following. When I consider how you love me. I think the key word has to be unconditionally. Not because you see in me a diamond in the rough, all I could be potentially, but intrinsically, Selim Lakin, intrinsically, unconditionally, where I am now. When I consider how you love me thus and infinitely, there stirs, awakens deep in me an answering love. And then I yearn, I long to be all you've created me to be. We have to do something about this. We have to restore to the children and to ourselves a feeling of their being worthy in our eyes, of being worthy in Hashem's eyes. I had a yid that was telling me today, a sweet person, I was talking to a little bit on the phone back in New York, he was telling me that he feels like such a hypocrite. How could a person like me get up and daven? I'm davening to Hashem, and Hashem knows I saw such disgusting things last night, and I'm going to get up for Shacharis, and I'm going to say Maidan in bed, and I'm going to say Ashrei Yoshev Yisach. I'm going to say a Kriya Shema. This is a joke. The whole Torah of Hashem is not to say that, God forbid, we're allowed to do things that we shouldn't do. But it says in the Slana Masorah that if the moment after a Jew has done the worst aveira in his life, God forbid, if that moment afterwards he is not able to put it aside and to turn to Hashem Yisbarach and to talk to him and to cry to him and to ask him for help, he hasn't stepped upon the threshold of the holy Baal Shem Tov. Because Hashem Yisbarach longs for us every moment. Hashem Yisbarach sees us intrinsically, unconditionally, for who we are. And only when we know that, only when we believe in that, that stirs within us that feeling of coming back to Him. Not to run away anymore. We've been running away for thousands of years. Mipanecha asoser. Hengarashtoti. Hashem says, Mihig lucha ke'imot. I never said that you're naked. I love you. Just try to do better. I'll help you. I never told you you're worthless. I never told you you're worthless. So the Odin says in Kapitel Nun, I'm going to give you Musa. What's the Musa? Ercha le'inecha, which means I'm going to show you how much you're worth in your own eyes. The biggest Musa you can give a child is to show that child what it means that he's a tzelem elokim l'mai nafkemina. That if you're struggling with something and you're having a hard time with certain aveiros, adrav. Don't run. You don't have to tell me. But talk to the one who made you, who loves you, who never ever lets go of you, who's never given up on you. So I want to share with you a story, and this will be the end. You know that one of the great, great geniuses of Torah in the last generation was Rav Chaskel of Ramsky, Zeretz Harav Kosh Levracha. Haskell came from Litta, and then he was in Siberia, and then in London. And from London, he went to Beit Vagan. That's when Beit Vagan was a new neighborhood then. And he was that person in Beit Vagan that everybody was in awe of. He was a great man. Chazon Yecheskel was Svarim. He was a genius. Articulate, kind. So I saw in a sefer a few years ago that Rav Chaskel was walking with one of his talmidim in Beit Vagan, and he saw that there was a little girl that was sitting on the sidewalk, on the curb, and she was crying. And they were talking and learning. And Rav Chaskel saw the girl crying, and he turned to her and he said in Hebrew, Madu ad bucha, why are you crying? She says she couldn't talk, and she was crying so hard. And then Rav Chaskel asked, Ech karim lach, Yelda, what's your name? And she said, crying, she said, Shifra. Shifra, Shifra. Madu ad bucha, why are you crying? So Shifra told Rav Chaskel that her mother bought her this new dress, and that the other girl, some other girl told her a few minutes ago that the dress is ugly. That's like putting a knife into a little girl. The dress is ugly. So she's crying. So Haskell said to her, Shifra, Hashem Shalach Shifra, your name Shifra means what? Yofi, beauty. At kol kach yafa, yalda yafa, va'ani, tagidi my head. Rutsi habayta, v'tagidi l'ima, go home and tell Ima that you met Rav Haskell Avramsky. And Rav Haskell Avramsky said that Shifra is the most beautiful girl in Beit Hagan, and she has the most beautiful dress in Beit Hagan. She got up, and she skipped off to her house to tell her mother. So this Barchad was walking with he just couldn't believe this conversation. That the Gadol Hador would interrupt, you know, a Pshat and Tosfos to have this conversation with some little girl about her dress. So he was afraid to say anything, but he had a v'im toimer on his face, you understand? So what was the v'yesh line, man? Rav Haskell said, listen to me. You think she's any different than any of us? Because you and I can make believe that we're not crying. The reason that we're not crying is because we don't believe that we're beautiful in Hashem's eyes. And I want her to know that she's the most beautiful girl in Beit Hagan. And we have to know that ourselves. That in Hashem's Baruch's eyes, there's nobody that's more beautiful. No matter what's happened. Not as an excuse. No matter what's happened. And that's why this time of the year is Tikkun Ha'inayim. Eini Eini Yodamayim. Our eyes were Amu B'fiyim Ashal Ro'o B'Neihem. The Meraglim saw, but they didn't see the depths of a Jew. They didn't see the depths of Eretz Yisrael. Yes, so there's a terrorist attack in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we're going to walk away from it. We're not going to walk away from it. Ki Tov Ha'aretz Ma'od Ma'od. The land is very good. Every single Jew is very, very good. Not Tov Ma'od, Ma'od Ma'od. With the davening, we shall have the eyes to see the beauty in each and every one of our children, to see the beauty in every Jew, to see the beauty in Eretz Yisrael, to see the beauty in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see the beauty of what it means to be Avdei Hashem, and that our children and grandchildren should see that when they look in our eyes, they see that we look at them that way, and they feel worthy of davening. They feel worthy of standing in front of Hashem, and they stop running away, but they come to Him. And there will be Zoyche Bez Hashem. All of us to be together. Won't be any more Cleveland and New York and Boston and Los Angeles and Paris and London. It'll be only Yerushalayim and Haifa and Tel Aviv and Eilat and Tanya and Petach Tikva. We should be Zoyche for the day of Ki Ayin Be'ayin Yir B'Shuv Hashem Tzion of Mimkorim Chamakin Sifiyah. Ein der ein ihr beschuva schem besach zene in der beschuva zum brachmem und der kurs am mitte schem wie mehr am mehr